Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 19, The Lord Begs Charity from Bali Maharaj, Text Number 40. Yatad yata riksha umula Sushat yud avartate chirat Evam nashtanrita sadya Atma shushena na samshaya. Yata as riksha, a tree. Unmula, being uprooted. Sushiti, dries up. You have to give the translation, Slovene.
Oh, okay.
You skipped ahead. Udvartate falls down. Falls down. Padat. Padat. Yes. Achirat. Very soon. Evam, in this way. Nashta, lost. Anrita, the temporary body. Sadya, immediately. Atma, the body. Shushet, dries up. Na, not. Samshayaha, any doubt. Translation provided by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When a tree is uprooted, it immediately falls down and begins to dry up. Similarly, if one does not take care of the body, which is supposed to be untruth, in other words, if the untruth is uprooted, the body undoubtedly becomes dry. Purport. In this regard, Srila Rupa Goswami says, prapanchikataya buddhya Hari sambandhi vastuna mumukshubi parityaj go vairagyam phalgu katyate. One who rejects things without knowledge of the relationship to Krishna is incomplete in his renunciation. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-2-266. When the body is engaged in the service of the Lord, one should not consider the body material. Sometimes the spiritual body of the spiritual master is misunderstood. But Srila Rupa Goswami instructs prapanchikataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastuna. The body fully engaged in Krishna's service should not be neglected as material. One who does not neglect it is false in his renunciation. One who does neglect it is false in his renunciation. If the body is not properly maintained, it falls down and dries up like an uprooted tree, which flowers and fruit can no longer be obtained. The Veda is therefore enjoined. Om iti satyam net yanavrita tad etad pushpam balam vacho yo satyam Saheshvaro Yashasvi Kalyana Kirtir Bhavita. Purport is that activities performed with the help of the body for the satisfaction of the Absolute Truth, Om Tat Sat, are never temporary, although performed by the temporary body. Indeed, such activities are everlasting. Therefore, the body should be properly cared for. Because the body is temporary, not permanent. One cannot expose the body to being devoured by a tiger or killed by an enemy. All precautions should be taken to protect the body. So text 40, yat tad yata riksha umula shushyat yud vartate chirat evam nashta tanrita sadhya atma sushena nasamshayaha. When a tree is uprooted, it immediately falls down, begins to dry up. Similarly, one does not care for the body, doesn't take care of the body, which is supposed to be untruth. In other words, if the untruth is uprooted, the body undoubtedly becomes dry. Here in the Bhagavad Gita, it explains the difference between matter and spirit, that it's one of consciousness. As Krishna is the source of everything, that as Ekadesha, Stitas Yagya, Ita Vishtrasi Ita, Parasya Brahmana Shakti, Stitadam Akilam Jagat. As fire is in one place, and diffusing the heat and light everywhere, so Krishna is in one place, and he diffuses all his energies everywhere. And as Krishna is spiritual, so all his energies are also spiritual. But when we utilize Krishna's energy for sense gratification, forgetfulness of Krishna, then the result is that to us, we perceive it as something material, disconnected from Krishna. But actually nothing is ever really disconnected from Krishna except for our consciousness. So that's how the material nature works. Naham prakasha sarvasha. Yogamaya samavrita mudoyam nabijananti lokoyam ajam avyam. I am never manifested to the foolish and to the unintelligent. For them I am covered by my eternal creative potency, Yogamaya, and so the deluded world knows me not, whom unborn and inexhaustible. So material existence means simply forgetfulness of Krishna. And that forgetfulness means that our senses, mind and intelligence are covered by kam, krodh, esha, lobe. Covered by the material energy, which manifests itself in different kinds of material desires. But the body that we receive, especially in the human form of life, is an opportunity to change our consciousness by changing our activities also. Gata sangasya muktasya gyanavasti chaita saha yaja charata karma samagram praviliyate. The work of a person who is unattached to the modes of nature. So we're caught up thinking we're this body and that what happens to the body is very important to the soul. Of course, as explains here, it is important to the soul. It's an opportunity for the soul to utilize the body in Krishna's service. So that's the importance. Otherwise, the body, if it's not utilized in Krishna's service, then at least if it's utilized in the modes of goodness, then at least one won't go down to the lower species of life, where there's no possibility of understanding Krishna consciousness, which means to understand how we should utilize this body in devotional service to Krishna, in order to become conscious of Krishna. Krishna doesn't ask for a lot of things. He doesn't ask for exorbitant offerings. He just says, patram pushpam palam toyam, that a little leaf, a flower, some water, some fruit. If it's offered with devotion, Krishna will accept it. So what he really wants is our devotion, since he already owns everything else. So this body can be utilized in any circumstance for doing some kind of offering to Krishna as Krishna would like to be offered, whatever we offer to him. Then the result is the Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam. The more we become steady and enthusiastic in our service to Krishna, then the more Krishna gives us intelligence to see things in Krishna consciousness. And naturally, if we see things in Krishna consciousness, we'll tend to act in Krishna consciousness too. If we see how Krishna is controlling everything, then it's very unlikely we're going to try to do something outside of what Krishna wants us to do, because we'll see it's futile. All it's going to do is cover our awareness of Krishna. And for one who wants to become aware of Krishna, then doing something outside of what Krishna wants is not productive, if that's our aim, is to become conscious of Krishna. On the other hand, if one wants to become unconscious of Krishna, that there's many opportunities in the material world to do so. Then we can choose to act in the modes of ignorance and passion, and it's guaranteed Krishna will cover us with his illusory energy, and we'll imagine ourselves to be separate from Krishna, that we ourselves are the proprietors of whatever we have, and that we're the, and that whatever we have is meant for our satisfaction in some way or another. But even this body, as it says, belongs to Krishna, and even the body we're supposed to utilize in Krishna's service. Just like Sanatana Goswami, he, when he was coming to visit Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri, he went through the Jharikhanda forest. Jharikhanda forest is a big, big tract of land in India, in the middle of India, and it takes a long, long time to traverse it. And there are no cities in the Jharikhanda forest back then. There were no supermarkets on the way. There were no hotels you stayed in overnight on your journey. It was a forest full of tigers and lions and elephants and all kinds of wild animals. Still, Sanatana Goswami was traversing that forest, and there were no paid hotels where he could take a shower, so he was taking a shower, a bath, wherever he could find any water. Unfortunately, because of the contamination of the water in which he bathed in, as well as the forest, and I guess his lack of nutrition, because what can you find in a forest? There's no packaged nuts in the forest. Can't find superfood. And in the forest, there's probably even not, there's no banana trees in the forest. That's not, bananas don't grow in forests. What do you eat? So undoubtedly you have to be a little austere in what you can eat. And so Sanatana Goswami contracted some kind of itching sores. And contracting the itching sores, it was very painful and uncomfortable. But finally he arrived at Jagannath Puri and he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see him, but when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried to embrace Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana Goswami said, no, don't touch me, I'm contaminated. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forcefully embraced him, and the pus from the itching sores in Sanatana Goswami's body spread all over Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. Sanatana Goswami was very disturbed that he's committing an offense by contaminating Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so he decided that he was going to commit suicide. And suicide in Jagannath Puri meant when there's a big Rath Yatra and all the carts are going along, you throw yourself underneath the wheel, these huge wheels. It's probably the size between the floor here and the ceiling. It's the size of the wheels. So you get nicely crushed. And there are no emergency ward hospitals in Jagannath Puri at that time. The ambulance doesn't come and pick you up. The sweepers come and sweep you away, whatever's left of you. So Sanatana Goswami wanted to throw himself underneath the wheel and end his miserable body. And of course, getting run over by the car of Lord Jagannath means you'll probably go back to the spiritual world, or at least get liberation. God's driving a car and he runs you over, at least you'll get some benefit from it. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is omniscient, and he knew Sanatana Goswami's mind, and he told him that when he met Sanatana Goswami, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that he asked Haridas Thakur, who Sanatana Goswami was staying with, that this man, he wants to destroy someone else's property. That I have plans for Sanatana Goswami's life, that he's going to write books and open temples, etc., in Vrindavan, and yet he wants to destroy my property. So Sanatana Goswami could understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is omniscient and that he didn't approve of his plan for suicide. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that your body belongs to me, it's not, and therefore it should be utilized in my service, not for your sense gratification. Even if you sacrifice, if he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if I can, by committing suicide, I could go back, I could get Krishna's mercy, I do it 1,000 times. But that's not the way of getting Krishna's mercy, it's by utilizing your body in Krishna's service. And indeed, later on, Sanatana Goswami received the benediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him, and all his itching sores went away, and he was cured. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cured the leper, Vasudev, and became a very beautiful body. And when he was nervous, concerned, that now that I have this beautiful body, perhaps I'll forget about you. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, then just keep on chanting Hare Krishna, and you won't forget. So similarly, we should try to see whatever things we have actually belong to Krishna. This body belongs to Krishna, and therefore should be utilized as nicely as we can in Krishna's service. That means we should find out what Krishna wants us to do with his body, with his energy, and we should try to do those things to please him. Then the result is that we'll become Krishna conscious, and then we'll realize Brahmarpanam Brahmahaivira Brahmagno Brahmahutam Brahmayavatena Gantavyam Brahmakarma Samadina. That a person is sure to obtain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities in which the consummation is absolute and the things which are offered is of the same spiritual nature. In other words, the whole world is actually Brahman. Everything is made out of spirit. But when spirit is covered by our desire for sense gratification, we should say that we're covered. Our consciousness is covered. Just like if you have glasses, you can see through them. At least some of us have glasses here. And we have glasses so we can see. But if we color them pink, then whatever we see will appear to be pink. The whole world will turn pink. But the world didn't turn pink. Our vision turned pink. Similarly, we're looking out through these eyes. It's not that what we're seeing is actually what's going on, although it's not completely divorced. It's not that when we get pure spiritual vision, then suddenly we'll see everyone had actually four heads and we thought they only had one. We'll be seeing things, but we'll see it's all Krishna's energy. And as Krishna's attractive, everything actually and everyone becomes attractive also. One can see the beauty of Krishna's energy everywhere and Krishna's arrangements. And that depends upon how much we're dedicated to Krishna's service. When one is completely dedicated 100% to Krishna's service, then he sees everything, the fire, the offer, the offering, the result. He sees everything as Krishna's energy. And therefore that's called Krishna consciousness. And now we see everything is separate from Krishna. We don't remember Krishna. If we don't remember Krishna, that's called Maya. And therefore we see, according to the modes of nature that we're situated under, that's how we see everything and imagine it to be like that. But there's a reality. There's an actual reality, objective reality. And if we perform devotional service and get Krishna's mercy, then gradually that will be revealed to us. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, thank you for the lecture. I heard this word by word translation. If I don't remember, but it's Atma, it translating with body.
I can't understand what you're saying.
Translation word by word.
Yeah.
It was Atma was translated by the body, but I was thinking it was the soul. So.
Well, Atma means body, mind, or soul. Depends if context is used. Okay. Anyway you would like to use it, you can use it as body, mind,
and soul.
Context.
It depends on the context.
Context and the translator too. Yeah, in other words, depends on the context, meaning that you can, sometimes you can translate Atma in a sentence in Sanskrit and mean the body, and then you can translate the same sentence and mean the mind, and then you can translate the same sentence and mean it in context of being the soul.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Just like in Bhagavad Gita, some verses can be translated in many different ways.
Oh, okay.
Depending on the context.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. There is a question from Avaduta Raya Dasa. In the Radha Krishna Archana Deepika by Jiva Goswami, it is said that gunas are in the jivas. Question. But it is also said gunas don't influence the jivas because the jivas are higher energy. How to resolve this?
No, the soul is higher energy. Jiva means when the soul is influenced by the body, his consciousness is influenced by the body, then he's called jiva. But the atma is different.
Thank you.
In the spiritual world, you don't call the souls jivas, you call them souls. Here you call them jivas because they're influenced by the material nature.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else?
Thank you.
Think of something. All right. Kuala, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.